You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Does your dog talk to you? Do you know what he or she is saying? Welcome to My Doggy Says. Here now to help you understand and build a closer relationship with your dog, the host of My Doggy Says, Fred Haney.
Hi, this is Fred Haney, host of the My Doggy Says show, where we try to improve our pet listening skills and build better relationships with our furry dog friends. And the ultimate goal is to become dog's best friend. Do you know what your dog is saying to you? You know, if you're not sure, then this is the show for you. We're going to work together at getting better at understanding some of those mysterious messages that our dogs send us. And also figuring out how to act on them and nurture our dogs' personalities and get into a stronger relationship with them. I want you to meet my 16-month-old golden retriever, Callie. She's here beside me, giving me licks on the face and encouraging me as we go. She's 16 months old. I still call her a puppy, but she's probably full-grown. She weighs about 60 pounds and hasn't grown much for the last 60 or 90 days. So Callie's my pal as we go through this, and a lot of what you'll hear from me is based on experience with Callie. So today we're going to talk about your daily walk or jog with your dog, because it represents a lot of opportunity to improve your dog listening skills and to nurture your dog's personality. We're going to talk about Kongtelligence, which you've probably figured out is a combination of the popular Kong toy. And we're going to ask the question, how intelligent does a dog have to be to get the puppy treat out of a Kong toy? And then Callie, again, my 16-month-old golden retriever, is going to do a segment. Callie likes to play a doggy psychologist sometimes, and she has a message for all of her Labrador retriever friends. It's basically, if you were a person, a Labrador retriever, what kind of person would you be, and what kind of person jobs might you have? So you're going to want to be sure and have your Labrador retriever, if you have one, at your side when you listen to that segment. And then in the final segment of the program, we're going to talk about Jamie's rules. There are 27 rules that were invented by Jamie. Jamie is my previous golden retriever. I lost her about a year and a half ago. But Jamie was the subject of the book I wrote called My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. So Jamie passed on some very important doggy rules, and we're going to talk about a couple of them in the final segment, and I think you'll see that they probably would apply pretty well to people as well as to dogs. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about your daily walk or jog with your dog, if you take one. If you don't, you might say, why would I want to do a thing like that? But the answer is that a daily jog can be good for you, can help you sweat off a few pounds if you're interested in doing that. But it's also really healthy for your dog. And there are a lot of opportunities to, when you're out there in nature with your dog, to listen to some of its messages and improve your dog listening skills. So if you're not doing it on a daily basis, I suggest you slip on your running shoes and find your favorite alma mater or fraternity sweatshirt, grab your jogging shorts, put on your best baseball cap, and take your pooch for a little spin. Whether it's a jog or a walk, doesn't really matter, but healthy for everybody. So how do you listen to your dog on your morning walk? I'll give you a good example of how healthy this can be to do. Some years ago, my wife and I had a red Irish setter named Bonnie. Her real name was Bonfire, but we called her Bonnie for short. And Bonnie was just hyper. She chewed on pillows and chewed on rugs and chewed on everything she could chew on, and she liked to dig holes in the backyard, and she kind of bounced off the walls. My wife started to run with her and to try and knock some of that edge off, and it worked really well, but the really fun thing was that my wife became a marathon runner as a result of that, and ended up running 9 marathons, all because of Bonnie the Irish Setter. So you're listening to the My Doggy Says show. I'm your host, Fred Haney. I'm the author of the 4-time award-winning book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie. And we're talking about your daily walk with your dog and how it can present a lot of opportunities for you to listen to your dog's messages and improve your dog listening and nurturing skills. So when you're out there in nature with your dog, its senses just come alive. It smells the flowers, it smells the grasses, it smells trees, it smells construction sites. My golden retriever, Callie, smells cars and tires and trucks. I don't understand that, but she'll walk over to a car that's parked at the side of the street and just give it a real careful sniff. And she's obviously picking up odors that I'm just not aware of. There are also a lot of birds and car sounds, truck sounds, people sounds out there that turn on your dog's senses and cause it to react in different ways. And finally, your dog is going to see a lot of sticks and pine cones and rocks and things that look interesting that might be worth picking up. So it's important to tune in to how your dog is responding to those kinds of things. Callie just loves her morning walk. We do about a 3-mile loop every morning, and she looks forward to it. She gets excited when she sees us put on our jogging clothes. Jamie just loved her morning walk. She would bark at the front door until we were all ready to go. And one of my favorite stories is about the morning jog. It involves Jamie. My wife's picture was in a local paper one morning, and on our jog we stopped off and bought 4 copies of the paper so we'd have them to bring home. And I rolled them up in a roll and just held them in my hand as we ran the last mile back up the hill. And Jamie looked back at me. She looked back, and we couldn't figure out what she was doing. She was making eye contact, but she just kept looking at me. And finally, my wife said, "I think she wants you to just pay attention to her." So I stopped and gave her a little scratch on the ear, and we went on running, but same thing. She looked back at me again, like, "What's going on here?" And finally, my wife said, "I think she just wants to carry the newspapers." So I handed her the newspapers, and she lifted her head up high, put them in her muzzle, carried them the rest of the way home, and that was exactly what she wanted. And the lesson there was that she was really communicating in her way with her body language, and I was having to really think hard to figure it out and understand what it was that she was saying. And that's pretty typical. A lot of times the messages aren't obvious. Sometimes you don't even know your dog is communicating, but you have to stop and say, why did she do that, and how am I going to make some sense out of that? So other messages that my dogs have sent in the morning are things like, hey, I got to stop for a minute. I picked up some twigs in my tail feathers. Would you please clean them out? Or there's a really nice-looking pine cone here. I'd like to carry it the rest of the way home. Would that be okay? Same thing maybe with a tennis ball. Or, hey, I'd just like to stop and say hello to my friends. So the morning jog, it can be an important time. Doesn't have to be in the morning, but that walk or jog with your dog is a really nice time to spend some time and try and tune in to the messages it's sending. Try and figure out what it's saying and why did it do that? What's it trying to tell me? And also try to respond when your dog's asking for something. Try to respond to the request. So that jog is a great opportunity for you to sweat off a pound or two and practice your dog listening. So the rest of the show, the next segment, we're going to talk about Kongtelligence and those wonderful Kong toys and what's involved in getting the puppy treat out of them. And then Callie's going to talk a little bit to her Labrador Retriever friends about if you were a person, what person would you be? Callie, my golden retriever, likes to do a little psycho-doggy analysis. And then finally, we're going to talk about Jamie's rules, 2 of the 27 rules that are covered in my book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. So thanks for tuning in. You can learn more about My Doggy Says by reading my blog at mydoggysays.com. And it's www.mydoggysays.com. And computer on my desk is doing something funny. So next segment, after the break, we'll do a little bit about those wonderful Kong toys and how much intelligence does a doggy have to figure out how to get that puppy treat out of there. Stay tuned. Cool.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back to My Doggy Says. Here once again to help you understand and build a closer relationship with your dog, the host of My Doggy Says, Fred Haney.
Welcome back to the My Doggy Says show, where we try to improve our dog talk skills and build better relationships with our doggy friends. And we really try hard to be dog's best friend. And our program is brought to you by the Dog Appreciation Network. I'm your host, Fred Haney, author of the four-time award-winning book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. And I'm here now with my current Golden Retriever puppy, Callie, a 16-month-old female Golden Retriever. Her show name, if we were showing her, would be Woodlands Callaway Hole-in-One, Callie, short for Callaway. So later in the show, Callie's actually going to bring a segment to you. Where she's going to give her views on some psychoanalysis of Labrador retrievers. She's going to answer a question that you know all Labrador retrievers are asking. If I were a person, which person would I be? That'll be Callie's segment. And then in the final segment of the show, we'll talk about Jamie's rules. Jamie is the subject of the book I wrote, My Doggy Says, and Jamie passed on to me 27 rules that dogs live by, and we're going to talk about two of them in our final segment. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit about Kong intelligence, which I'm sure you figured out is a combination of the Kong toy and puppy intelligence, or how intelligent does a puppy have to be to figure out how to get the puppy treat out of a Kong toy. So Kong toys, I'm sure you've seen them if you are a dog owner. They're hard rubber toys. They come in different shapes and sizes, and they have a little hole through the middle that's just big enough to put in some kind of a puppy treat, maybe a real puppy treat or some string cheese or a carrot. My wife's even put broccoli in the hole. And the dog's job, of course, is to try and figure out how to get the treat out of there. And it's kind of fun because it takes them a while. So they're really entertained while they're trying to get the treat out. So Callie has three or four of these. One is a red barbell shape. Again, it's hard rubber. And this one looks like a little barbell. It's about four or five inches long. And another one looks almost like a little black snowman or maybe a black beehive with three little spherical areas that get, each one gets a little smaller than the last one. And then she has another one that looks like a high-tech red space capsule with little vents in it and everything, but it's got a hole drilled through, so there's a place to put a puppy treat. So you put a puppy treat in there, and you give it to your dog, and the dog just goes crazy. It goes frantic, kind of licking and sucking and pushing and pulling and rolling and poking and trying to figure out how to get it out of there. And maybe it was invented as sort of a dog IQ test because it really does challenge their intelligence a little bit, because they can't go grab a screwdriver and just shove that stuff out of there. Callie loves these things, and she'll play with them for 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time, and then figure out finally how to get the treat out. And I do think it's a kind of IQ test. If you've never done this with your dog, give it a try and see what kind of things they come up with. So to tell you the story I want to tell you, I have to also say that for the first time, my wife and I have been crate training Callie. We've had lots of dogs, but this is the first time we've done the crate training thing. So she spends a lot of time in this fairly large crate. They have numbers on them, but this one probably stands about 3 feet high, and maybe it's 4 or 5 feet long, and about 3 feet wide. So there's plenty of room for her, especially since she's a little bit on the small size. She's very happy in her crate. We're at a stage now where she can kind of come and go. She enjoys that freedom, but she's fine in the crate too. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to the My Doggy Says show. I'm your host, Fred Haney. I'm the author of the four-time award-winning book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. And we're talking about these wonderful Kong toys and how much Kong intelligence it takes for a dog to extract a treat. So the dog I'm talking about now is my current doggy friend, Callie, short for Callaway. So Callie's sleeping in her crate, and she's sound asleep, and I'm sound asleep anyway, at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up to this loud bonk sound, bonk, bonk, and I just couldn't imagine what was happening. Finally, I turned the light on and walked over to Callie to see what was going on, and she was picking up this Kong toy that still had some food inside it. It had a little bit of puppy treat and some string cheese all mixed together. And she's picking this thing up and throwing it down on the hard plastic floor of her training crate just as hard as she can. And it sounds like somebody's just dribbling a basketball right through our bedroom. When we finally realized what was happening, we had to laugh. We thought it was pretty funny. But my question for you, I guess, is where does that come from? How'd she figure that out? Is there something in the breeding of a golden retriever? Is there something in their genes that says, Newton's first law of motion really works? An object at rest tends to stay at rest, and an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So you throw that thing down as hard as you can on the floor, and maybe the treat will pop out. I just can't quite imagine how she ever figured that out. And one of my little themes in thinking about dogs is I still don't think scientists give them credit for being as smart as they are. The attitude of the typical scientist seems to be, well, a dog can't do a Rubik's Cube, so how smart can they be? Well, I think they're awfully smart, and I think that scientists keep doing studies, and we'll talk about some of them in other shows. They're always surprised. You know, they're deciding that maybe dogs are a little smarter than they thought. Well, this whole thing led me to a whole adventure of trying to take photographs of Callie bonking her toys around the house. And so I said, well, I got to get a photograph of this. This led me to the invention of a very important new scientific principle. It's called the puppy uncertainty principle. And as you can tell, it's kind of named after the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. If you're an atomic physicist, you know that you can't really measure the location of these little atomic particles, because when you try to measure them, you change the position. Well, I tried for weeks to get some good video of Callie bonking her Kong toys on the floor. And every time I would turn the camera on and start to shoot, she'd go a different place. Instead of dropping the thing down on the ground, she'd take it and run to the next room, or she'd just roll it around with her paw. Finally, after weeks, I got some video of that, and I got it on some of it's on my blog, which you can find at www.mydoggiesays.com. So the Kong toys are a fun way to observe your dog's behavior if you haven't done it before. It's a bit of an IQ test. These dogs are pretty smart, and frankly, I think they're a lot smarter than even the scientists give them credit for. So after the break, we're going to go to Callie's Corner, and she's going to talk to her Labrador Retriever friends and answer the question, if you were a person, Labrador Retriever, which person would you be? And later in the program, we'll talk about a couple of Jamie's rules. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Back after the break.
Your dog's actions may speak louder than words. Welcome back to My Doggy Says, here again to help you become a better listener with your best friend, the author of My Doggy Says, Fred Haney.
Hi, welcome back to the My Doggy Says show, where we try to figure out what makes our dogs tick and how to build stronger relationships with them, and how we can be dog's best friend to man's best friend. And this program is brought to you by the Doggy Appreciation Network. I'm your host, Fred Haney, author of the four-time award-winning book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. So in the next segment of the program, the final segment, we're going to talk a little about Jamie's rules from my book, My Doggy Says. Jamie, through her actions and her body language, communicated to me 27 rules that dogs live by. They're mostly rules that people would do to live by as well, and we're going to talk about two of them in the final segment. But right now, we're going to introduce my 16-month-old golden retriever, Callie, who is still a puppy in spirit, but 60-pound, full-grown female golden retriever, a little on the light color side, which I've always liked in golden retrievers. And Callie's very athletic. Her father is an agility champion in both the United States. He's a grand champion in both the United States and Canada. And Callie obviously has a lot of athletic ability. But she's also very serious about her studies, and if you want to take a look at my blog, which you can find through www.mydoggiesays.com, you'll see a picture of Callie, Dr. Callie, sitting on a sofa in a very thoughtful pose. And she understands that a psychologist is supposed to be in the tall armchair and the patient's supposed to be on the sofa. But at this particular moment, she couldn't find a Labrador Retriever to serve as a patient. So if you're the owner of a Labrador Retriever, you want to get it over by the radio right now so it can hear this this segment, because it's really Callie addressing this to her Labrador Retriever friends. There's a book that was published just last year called What Dog Are You? It was written by Lori Lebda and Tammy Bergeson, and the idea of it was if you're a person, you could read this book, and based on your personality characteristics, you could figure out if you were a dog, would you be a Labrador Retriever or a Golden Retriever or a Schnauzer or a German Shepherd? You know, what would you be? So Callie said to me, if people can have a What Dog Are You book, why shouldn't the dogs have a What Person Are You book? So Callie's been working away at doing some psycho-doggy analysis, and she's done several of the breeds. A couple of the articles are on the blog. Tonight she asked me to convey to you what she'd learned about Labrador Retrievers. And you want to make sure that your lab hears this. So if you look at the American Kennel Club personality traits for a golden retriever, for a Labrador retriever, you see that they are kindly, outgoing, of a tractable nature. Can't you just hear the guy at the Westminster Dog Show saying this? Of a tractable nature. Easy to please, gentle, intelligent, and adaptable. Well, those are all personality traits that we love and expect in a Labrador retriever. So according to Callie's psychodoggy analysis, and you can learn some of this at a website called personalitypage.com, golden retrievers are outside themselves. They see the world outside themselves, which means they're extroverted. I'm sorry, I keep mixing up golden retrievers and Labrador retrievers. Callie's a golden retriever. She's talking about Labrador retrievers. The Labrador retrievers have highly efficient senses, which makes them sensor-oriented in a psychological sense. They're intelligent, which makes them thinkers. And they're action-oriented, which makes them perceivers. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to the My Doggy Says show. I'm your host, Fred Haney, author of the 4-time award-winning book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie. And we're talking about, actually, my golden retriever, Callie, is telling us, her Labrador retriever friends, if you were a person, which kind of person would you be? So based on all this psychological analysis, Callie believes that Labrador retrievers are ESTPs. That means they're extroverted, sensor, thinker, perceivers. And ESTPs are usually very action-oriented. They're flexible and adaptable. They're fun to be around, and they're really good-natured. Well, doesn't that just sound like every Labrador retriever you ever knew? I mean, they're really smart. They slobber all over you trying to please you. They're always trying to shake hands with other dogs and with people. They love to frolic. So that seemed like a pretty good assessment on Callie's part. And traditionally, typically, ESTPs are pretty good at doing some of these kind of jobs. They make good sales representatives, for example. They've got this very strong sensory processing ability. They're very outgoing in nature. They have a lot of enthusiasm. You can just picture a Labrador retriever with a good, strong handshake. They're good at doing police and detective work, according to the psychologist. Well, duh. We knew that. They could be a paramedic or a doctor. Another time we'll talk about dogs' wound-licking capabilities and down through history how people have taken advantage of that. So they have this great sense of smell, which would certainly make them good for police or detective work, and we know that they do get used that way as drug sniffers, for example. And finally, ESTPs make good entrepreneurs because they have this terrific outside world view. They have really good, strong sensory abilities, lots of intelligence, very strong action orientation, which, of course, is something that would serve an entrepreneur really well, as would intelligence, as would sensory capabilities. So if you have a Labrador retriever, it might be interested in starting up its own business. They're willing to act on their instincts, and they have this great sense of smell, so maybe they can smell out the really good opportunities. So I hope your Labrador retriever's been with us for this. It's an important message for them to understand, and it'll be really good for their self-esteem to know what kind of person jobs they might be able to hold. And then Callie's final message to her Labrador retriever friends is maybe someday you could have a little talk show segment or write a blog occasionally like I do. Callie, golden retriever, 16 months old. So thanks to Callie for that insight. I'm just being her mouthpiece here. In some of the future programs, you'll hear Callie analyze some of the other breeds of dogs. The thing that we should conclude from this is that our dogs do have really rich personalities, and the more you can tune into that personality and nurture it and appreciate it, the stronger your relationship will be with your dog. So we'll continue to bring this kind of good news here on the Doggy Appreciation Network. After the break, we'll talk about two of Jamie's rules, which are rules that Jamie told me about that govern the way dogs live their lives. So they really come, they're two of the 27 rules in My Dog Says about how dogs can live a good life. So stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Body language, facial expressions, they're not just for humans anymore. Author Fred Haney says his dog Jamie talks to him. And now to continue the canine conversation, author of My Doggy Says, Fred Haney.
Welcome back to the My Doggy Says show. I'm Fred Haney, your host and author of the four-time award-winning book My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. And in this segment, we're going to learn a little bit about Jamie and some of her special communications. But I want to give you a little reminder that this week, May 4th through May 10th, is Be Kind to Animals Week. The American Humane Association created Be Kind to Animals Week in 1915 to celebrate the unique bond between humans and animals. The group also advocates for children. And that unique bond between humans and animals is a lot of what this program is about. So really appropriate that this is Be Kind to Animals Week. In this last segment, we're going to talk about a couple of Jamie's rules. There are 27 of Jamie's rules listed in My Doggy Says. And I'll explain a little bit about where those came from, because for me, it was an interesting discovery kind of experience. As I wrote My Doggy Says, I spent almost 5 years taking just hundreds and hundreds of photographs of Jamie's body language and her actions and trying to capture some of the messages that she was sending. And that's really what the book is. It's a collection of photographs and stories about Jamie's communication through her actions and her body language. Well, one of Jamie's best friends was another golden retriever named Ishka. Ishka is short for Ishka Baha, which is Gaelic for whiskey. And Ishka is our daughter's dog, and she got our daughter got Ishka just the same time that we got Jamie, both as puppies. So they first met when they were just about 8 weeks old. And they were really good pals, and they just loved to wrestle with each other. They started wrestling when they were tiny little puppies, just little balls of fluff kind of rolling around in the grass and into the bushes and all over each other. It was just very playful and fun to watch. But they continued to wrestle. So later in their lives, you got two 85-pound female golden retrievers barking and growling and trying to get underneath each other so they can nip at their tummies, and they nip at their ears and their throats, and they pounce and they jump, and each one tries to outmaneuver the other. And sometimes their puppy wrestling, although it seemed to be playful, it got pretty rough. And the thing I noticed was that if somebody bit an ear a little too hard or nipped at somebody's neck, then one of the dogs yipped, you know, in pain, like, hey, that hurts, right away they would both separate and jump back like boxers going back into their neutral corners. But there's no referee. So that led me to think, well, dogs seem to play by the rules, even if there's no referee. Isn't that wonderful? So I thought, well, that's an interesting little rule. I wonder if there are any other rules like that that Jamie lived her life by. So I went back through the book. By this time, I had written the text of the book, and I went back through and discovered 27 rules that just sort of jumped off the page once you really thought about it that way. I just started writing them down and going back through the stories, and these rules just popped out. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the My Doggy Says show. I'm your host, Fred Haney, author of the four-time award-winning book My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, How a Dog Named Jamie Talks to Her People. And we're talking about two of Jamie's rules from My Doggy Says. The first one is always play by the rules, even if there's no referee. It was real obvious that that was a rule that governed the play of Jamie and Ishka. The second rule was also an important part of the book. It was one of the first messages that Jamie sent me, but it took me a while to realize that it was also a philosophy of life. I was sound asleep one night, kind of early in this book project, before I'd really gotten very deep into it, and I woke up realizing that Jamie was standing beside me. She was sitting with her face right beside mine. So I'm lying on my bed, which is fairly high up off the ground, and Jamie's sitting there. Her face is at my level, and she was breathing real hard, and I wasn't sure what was happening or why she was doing that. I didn't do anything. I just lay there quietly. She wouldn't have known, I think, if I was awake or asleep. And then all of a sudden, I heard Jamie's breathing just get a little heavier. It escalated a little bit, and I heard this very gentle little woof. Now, in the book, I spell that W-U-U-F, because it's not the same as woof. It's woof. It's just a little more than hard breathing. And I couldn't imagine quite what she was saying. I thought, well, if she really had to go outside and go to the bathroom, she would run to the door and probably bark. And if she heard an animal out in the backyard, sometimes we'll get a possum or a raccoon or something like that, I think she'd have run to the door and barked. And if she wanted to chase the neighbor's cats, which was something that she would do fairly often, she would have run to the back door and barked. So I just couldn't figure out what was going on. And it was one of these what is my dog saying moments. And I'd gotten used to this. One of those times when you just have to scratch your head and say, what is she trying to tell me? So finally, having kind of eliminated a whole lot of possibilities, I got the idea that she's probably just asking me, please lift me up on the bed. And at this point in Jamie's life, she'd had an anterior cruciate ligament repaired in one of her legs, so she couldn't jump like she could when she was a puppy. So it made perfectly good sense, and maybe I should have been smarter about it in the first place, but I wasn't. So I climbed out of bed and lifted 85 pounds worth of golden retriever up on the bed, and sure enough, that was what she wanted, and she was just happy as could be for the rest of the night. So the more I thought about it, the more I liked that rule. Don't bark if a wolf will do the job. It's like don't use any more force than you have to get the job done. So I found 27 of those kind of rules that were buried in the stories that I came up with as part of My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie. These are my two favorites. Play by the rules, even if there's no referee, and don't bark if a wolf will do the job. Wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody kind of followed some of these rules that have been sort of handed to us by man's best friend. So today we've talked about a number of different ways of improving our doggy listening skills and nurturing the personality of our dogs and building stronger relationships with them. Your morning walk or jog or evening walk or jog, whatever time of day you decide to do it, is a good opportunity to shave off a few pounds and improve your relationship with your dog. A lot of opportunities to listen to messages. Kongtelligence is a combination of Kong toys that our doggies play with, and how intelligent does a puppy have to be to get the treat out of a Kong toy. And then in our third segment today, Callie told her Labrador Retriever friends exactly what kind of person they might be if they were people, which is sort of the reverse of a book that was published last year titled What Dog Are You? And then finally, we had a couple words of wisdom from Jamie, Golden Retriever, my Golden Retriever, about Jamie's rules. Play by the rules even if there's no referee, and don't bark if a wolf will do the job. Tune in next week, 8 to 9 p.m. Mountain Standard or Pacific Daylight. We'll talk about robot dogs and how Callie got me started playing soccer, Stinkies and other dog toys, and how dogs say coolest to each other. In the meantime, pay attention to what your dog's saying and remember the true meaning of woof.
You're listening to KFNX 1100, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.